Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! One minute past the hour and 12 seconds or so. One of these days I've got to get around to reading and learning how to read a clock. Man, it's tough when you can't even read the digital ones. But look, I get so worked up and excited about the beginning of any given program here that you just have to forgive me for any mistakes like that I may happen to make. Welcome to the program. It is Wednesday. It is the 6th day of October. We are almost done with the first week of October here at the Horn. Well, and where you are as well, unless you're on, you know, Planet Kolob or something. But more on Planet Kolob later. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. It's hump day. Yes, indeed, from here on out, it is straight downhill to Friday. But you know what? If you are familiar with this program, as I hope more and more of you are becoming, you will find that this is more than that. It is more than just the middle of the week hump day downhill to Friday. Yes, brethren and sistren, because I am a recovering Southern Baptist, it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. As the plate passes amongst the congregation, would our minister of music please come forward. Pass the plate. You know, in the bottom of the plate, if you look at the bottom of the plate, there's a little button that says PayPal. We're looking for 250 people who have $10 a month. That works out to being less than 5 cents per hour per show to join the thrifty. For yea, verily, thrift is a value that is found in virtually every holy book. Hallelujah, glory. To become a member of the Thrifty 250. Amen and amen. Minister of Music, if you would please, with the offertory hymn.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. never said religion should be free.
Come, Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey, Kiddly Divey too, wouldn't you, amen. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to the Cathedral of Common Sense. Put out your cigarettes out there on the, by the curbside where you're smoking with the heathens. Come on in. Just pass right by that 20-year-old bowl of butter mints that's been sitting there since the church was founded. Come on down that blood-red aisle, brethren and sistren, down the blood-red aisle, and fall on your knees. Amen. Fall on your knees. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer. And feel those healing rays of reason passing through you from the server on high. Glory. I am Archpope Bob Kincaid, and this is prayer meeting on Wednesday night on the Horn. The last of the blackberries that were picked this summer in amongst the copperheads. We did find some of the copperheads amongst the blackberries, and we put them in a cooler, saving them for later worship services. But the last of the blackberries that were picked from amongst those copperhead-infested vines and bushes and thorns, oh, they went into this evening's cobbler down to the fellowship hall, and oh, it was good. The deacons were fair to fighting with one another, brethren and sisters, trying to get at the last of it and a little bit of sweet cream to pour on the top. It was good, it was good, I tell you. But now it's time to get down to business. Oh, glory, I have good news for you. Oh, I do. I have great good news that shall be of joy to all retailers. At least the retailers in Richmond, Virginia. It was only a couple of days ago. It was only yesterday. It was only yesterday that the fine, upstanding followers of the Prince of Peace over to the American Family Association, who spend most of their time a-hating on the Homer Sectionals for having movie contests and telling the Home Depot about it. But they sent me a note yesterday, and it was almost more than I could stand. Christmas was dead in Richmond, Virginia, in the belly of the very capital, the beating heart of the old Confederacy. Christmas was dead. It was. Because Dominion Energy had taken over sponsorship of the Christmas parade there. And Dominion Energy told them it didn't want no longer to call it no Christmas parade. They wanted to call it a clean coal parade. No, wait. They wanted to call it a holiday parade. The Dominion Holiday Parade. And we know what Dominion it means, don't we, brethren and sisters? We know who has Dominion over this world. Yes, yes, Lucifer. Lucifer, the father of lies, has dominion over the earth and all the creatures in it. It says right there in the 33rd book of Jagoff, verse 2, chapter 666. It says so. Amen and amen. That didn't sit well with the people, the American Family Association, who took time out from hating on the Homer Sectionals. It didn't sit well with them. And they girded their loins as for battle. Don't think about their loins. It's just gross and it'll put you off your dinner. They girded their loins as for battle, and they said, "We will win this battle and many more like it." They sent out an action alert to the states where Dominion operates, and all of Dominion's good Jeebus following customers said, "I'm going to stop burning that coal-fired electricity unless you put Christ back in your coal-fired Christmas in Richmond." Glory, glory, glory. The American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi said, "As Christians, we can remind everyone that Christ is the true meaning of Christmas by being a witness." Yeah, you remember witness, don't you? You'll be careful among those English.
Say Merry Christmas, they urge, to your friends, your church, your school, your whole community, by giving away these here beautiful Christmas buttons that you can buy for a reasonable price from the American Family Association. Wear 'em and share 'em in October. No, really. So that was yesterday. Just yesterday, Christmas was under attack. Christmas was under attack in the heart of the old Confederacy, where we know they loved Jeebus better than just about anywhere else on earth. The old Confederacy, where preachers like my ancestor used to ride about and explain how Jeebus wanted white folks to own the black folks. Because black folks was meant to be owned, because back there when Noah landed the ark on a runway in Turkey, I don't know. But anyway, you know how it goes. The old Confederacy. Right, sure. That was yesterday. That was yesterday. But glory, I have news for you. Victory is theirs. Or Dominion's. Or somebody's. You do know who Dominion Energy is, right? They're the people who are ruining Wise County, Virginia, and ramming through a coal-fired power plant that will be run on mountaintop removal coal. Not that the American Family Association, which has family in its name, actually gives a rotten rat's ass about that. They don't care if everybody in Appalachia gets poisoned as long as they say Merry Christmas while they're doing it. Oh, but they had a glorious, glorious win today. Oh, dear Bob, and this comes from Tim Wildman. You did it! I did? I didn't think anybody was watching. There's no question that you're taking time to get involved as influenced Dominion Services and Richmond, Virginia parade organizers to reverse an earlier decision to replace Christmas with holiday. Oh, sickening, sickening. Late yesterday afternoon, after thousands of emails and hundreds of phone calls to Dominion parade organizers, posted a statement on their website stating, in light of the outpouring of support for retaining Christmas in the name, our board has voted to change the name to the Dominion Christmas Parade. They're still keeping Dominion in there because advertising rights is advertising rights after all. And that's the American Family Association. They don't care if they keep the advertising in there as long as they keep the Christmas in there. Yes, companies need to know you will stand up for the meaning of Christmas. By the way, order enough buttons to give your family, friends, and feller church members. You know, that's what we need at the Horn. That's our problem. We ain't got no damn buttons. We need buttons. And a bigger boat. So Christmas has been saved. Hallelujah, glory to God. In Richmond, Virginia. Now, the site is offline at Dominion Holiday Parade in Richmond, Virginia, and it still says Dominion Holiday Parade. And they've got statement of Richmond Parade, Inc. on annual Christmas parade, dated yesterday. The board of Richmond Parade, Inc., the volunteer organization that has organized the annual Christmas parade in Richmond, Virginia for 26 years, is issuing the following statement. There has been a great deal of confusion and misinformation about the decision to rename our annual holiday event a holiday parade, instead of a Christmas parade. This was a decision made unanimously by our board earlier this year. They would have had this press release out earlier yesterday, but they had to look up unanimously. Spell check is your friend. Had a decision made unanimously by our board earlier this year based on discussions over the last several years. It was our desire to show that everyone is welcome to celebrate in the spirit of goodwill. This decision was made prior to approaching Dominion about becoming the main sponsor of the event. It was not done at the insistence of Dominion. as has been misreported in some instances, as was made plain to us by the horses' heads we found with the Dominion logo on them in our beds when we woke up this morning. In light of the outpouring of support for retaining Christmas in the name, our board has voted to change the name of to the Dominion Christmas Parade instead of Dominion Holiday Parade, and Dominion has been informed of this decision. That means that Jews, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, Hindus, Baha'i, Sikhs, Buddhists, animists, Wiccans, and other sinners who are going straight to hell can just stay the hell away from our Christmas parade, or else Tim Wildman going to come down and chew on our leg. I hope that the publicity this issue has generated will result in additional sponsors and volunteers stepping forward to continue this proud Richmond tradition. But it ain't going to be no American Family Association, because all they wanted to do was sell some damn buttons on our ass. This site is currently being reconstructed to reflect the name change. That's why it still says Dominion Holiday Parade in Richmond, Virginia, but Tim Wildman won't put up with that for too terribly long. So, yeah, it's the 6th day of October, which falls after the 5th day of October, oddly enough, and the war on Christmas is already on. Sweet Jeebus. Agnes and I never had a honeymoon. The nature of my life back then meant that two days after we were married, I had to be back on the job. And really, we've never, ever, with the exception of a few hours alone here and there, we've never gone anywhere without the kids. And one of these days we're going to take a honeymoon, Agnes and I. Probably have to wait till the kids are grown. But we're going to go somewhere, maybe for Christmas. We're going to go somewhere where there aren't any screeching fundies, where there aren't any hollering holier than thou's, where there aren't any dominionists delivering hell and damnation to ruin the holiday season, somewhere that perhaps we can walk in crisp new fallen snow and maybe even, I don't know, kiss under some mistletoe. And there won't be any Tim Wildman. And there won't be any Dominion Energy trying to build a little PR off the fact that they're trying to poison southwestern Virginia. Someday. Just maybe. And, of course, there's another story out there that it turns out that we're going to be busy tonight. Because, well, first of all, thanks, everybody, for all the emails about the last two nights' stories about the pay-for-spray house burning in Tennessee. It seems from your reactions that you see that story as being as emblematic of the current state of affairs in this nation as any other story currently going, including election stories. As I heard Malloy note last night, and I had said myself, that fire in Obion County, Tennessee, was a teabagger's wet dream. And Malloy went so far as to say the only thing wrong with it, as far as a teabagger was concerned, was that there weren't any humans inside, preferably liberals, to burn up. And I agree. And many of you have written in. Our buddy Tosh wrote from Maryland. He said, the increased taxes on my house would be a whopping $8.06 if you calculate 0.13 cents on $1,000. The increased taxes on my house would be a whopping $8.06. This is why we ended privately owned fire companies in the 1800s, to avoid just this kind of crap. Maryland is at the point of some of these arguments in a Wall Street Journal article about how our millionaires' tax led to an exodus of high-wealth folks from Maryland. The point of the article was that any state with the temerity to raise taxes will be abandoned by the rich. This kind of sponsors tax competitions that make places afraid to tax at high enough rates to cover their costs. Since I travel a road that bisects one of the more expensive communities in Maryland and one in Virginia, a lower tax state, and honestly, the number of for sale signs appear approximately equal. Potomac, Maryland is not empty. This means there are a lot of high-end residents who expect services but refuse to pay for them. I wonder when the state decides that if a residence doesn't have a taxpayer, that residence is not entitled to state services. All property is subject to property taxes, so they're paying something. Perhaps it is time for a progressive property tax system. Indeed. However, part of what has caused Maryland budget problems is a short-term abatement in state taxes on refinances. I did a refi on our house in July, and the usual tax stamp cost should have been about $4,400. Remember what I was saying about the cost of tax stamps and fees going up? But under the short-term exception, presumably to allow people to rearrange their mortgages, the tax stamps were only $250. How much of our state's shortfall is due to things done for the benefit of our citizens? When I've caught up with my other work, I'm planning a counterattack, Tosh says, where I ask for the materials Thompson CSF used for their analysis, which had to be more personal tax records than I suspect the IRS or Maryland Comptroller is allowed to release. Once I get the records, I'll do my own analysis. I really suspect this whole study is completely bogus because I doubt they are allowed access to information at the level that would enable making these statements. Talking about, you know, oh, they're leaving. what did Thornton Wilder write in The Matchmaker, the play that gave birth to Hello, Dolly? Even the pigeons are leaving Hoboken. Even the rich are leaving Maryland. Continuing with the email out there, this rolled in from our good friend Scott in Sweden, otherwise known as Civilization, albeit cold. When I told my wife, Scott says, about the Tennessee fire story, she was similarly disgusted as the rest of us, but being a Viking stock, you don't want to see her get riled up, even if she barely weighs more than a sopping wet salmon. You know, Scott, if I were you, I wouldn't say that around her. She might hit you with a sopping wet salmon, and I'll bet she can swing one. And they hurt. When I told her about the actual cost to each taxpayer is less than a penny, wouldn't that really be true? Well, yeah, it is. It's 0.13 cents per either 100 or 1,000, which works out to next to nothing. She thought about it and said, then simply build a non-profit second fire department for $5 a year fee the first year to buy equipment, then 50 cents a year afterwards, and drive the bastard privateers out of business. The leftover funds could be used to fund the horn. Ooh, I love the way she thinks. Says Scott, damn, but Swedes ought to be running the planet. I tend to be pretty close to agreeing. And, let's see, this rolled in from Jan in the UK. My, what an uncivilized country you live in. I thought it was bad here in the UK, but it's not that cruel. We're a laboratory for cruelty, human cruelty. And that's the thing. We mask our cruelty under the guise of capitalism, free enterprise. And we grind people to death in the wheels of the machines of industry. .13 cents per 1,000. Amazing. $8 as compared to 75.
Can't have no taxes.
But I do appreciate what you had to say. And by the way, if you look over on my Facebook page, are you friended with me on Facebook? Why not? If you look over at my Facebook page, you will find a little video snippet that was put together by our good friend Horst of last night's from last night's program. The little a little moment when I was slain in the spirit and went off talking about Helen Keller. It is brilliantly done. Not necessarily by me, but pulled out and put together and put up on the YouTubes by Horst. That's the part I think was brilliant. And I really appreciate it. I think Horst may try to take a run at that from time to time. Oh, there's ever so much more out there. You know, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And thus, I would be remiss if I didn't bring on board, this being October in the month of tricks and treats and ghouls and goblins and so forth, if I didn't bring on America's favorite itinerant witchy poo, Christine O'Donnell. This is precious.
This guy is going to lose. There's no question
okay,
about
but
it. The interesting thing here is that he is.
This is from Bill Maher.
Ahead a lot of these other Tea Party candidates. At least he's out there saying obnoxious things. With you know, there's a ghost army of Republican candidates out there now who don't do events anymore. All they do is sit.
I'm glad you brought that up because I want to show the Christine O'Donnell clip we have. I just want to say thank you very much, Christine O'Donnell, because you know what? For all the years, I have not been on Politically Incorrect, and I did this show, and I always said I liked this show better. It was the right show for the right time of my life. But I kind of forgot how much fun I used to have on that show. That was a fucking fun show. Show the clip.
I was dabbling into every other kind of religion before I became a Christian.
You were a witch.
I was dabbling in witchcraft.
Right.
I dabbled in Buddhism, and I would have become a Hare Krishna, but I didn't want to become a vegetarian, and that is honestly the reason why, because I'm Italian. I love meatballs.
Boy, are you spiritual.
Yeah, she was Italian, and she loves meatballs. I wonder how that goes with her masturbation prohibition. Now, see, I've got a dirty mind. I should be ashamed. I would have become a Hare Krishna, but I'm Italian and love meatballs. But, you know, I can't be too... In all fairness, I can't be too hard on her over that. Because there are world religions that I have a great deal of respect for that I could never be a part of because it would mean no more barbecued pork pig pulled pork sandwiches for Bob. No ribs. No bacon? Sorry. Just can't. There's no God in the universe worth giving up bacon. Or hog jowl on a New Year's morning. Oh, no. No way. The potatoes fried in bacon grease? I mean, they got drugs that kind of protect me from the bacon grease now when I can afford them. Ain't no religion on earth worth giving up the pulled pork for. Especially if the sauce is thin and spicy. So I'm kind of going to give Christine O'Donnell a pass on that. Hell, at least as a Baptist, we got barbecue. So, not so much. I'm telling you, it's 28 minutes past the hour, and we have got... Wait a minute. David in Tennessee noting an Italian named O'Donnell? What? You know, I let that one fly right past me. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that must be on the mother's distaff side or something. But then again, Malloy's Italian, too. On Mama's side, apparently. So, you know. Yeah, David, you're right. A little hog jowl and the first tomato out of the garden on a July sandwich. Yep, I'm hanging on to that no matter what. Ain't no God gonna get it. Whew, I want one right now. If only you knew how long it's been since I had about 4 fresh tomatoes all summer long, and that's like torment to me. Nobody's gardens did any good around here. I don't know. Maybe they were cursed by Christine O'Donnell when she was dabbling in witchcraft. You know, I hate to say it, but she's kind of cute. I wish Playboy would go ahead and offer her $1 million to strip. Oh! Sexist moment. Sorry. Oh, and homemade garlic mayo. Yeah, okay, David, you're just tormenting me now, okay? Although I did have Agnes did fix me a lovely grilled cheese on sourdough with thinly sliced Havarti. And it was right tasty. But I'm getting away from my topic. One other thing before we dive into the other creepy stuff. You may recall when we discussed the fallout and follow-up to the Beckerhead's White Stock. You may recall that I suggested that there was a lot of Mormon dog whistling going on. And lo and behold, while I was the only real liberal doing that, a few members of the right-wing fundamentalist types, they noticed it too. And I noticed it because, and I noticed it, and they noticed it for the same reason. I was raised in that swill, right-wing fundamentalism. But lo and behold, it only took a little over a month, and Dana Milbank at the Washington Post has caught on. And he wrote a couple of days ago, and this was forwarded along to me by Megan over in Delaware. She sent me a note saying, "Oh my God, Bob, you were right." Well, I was. You know, the best way to stay ahead of the news curve and the best way to set yourself up in such a way as to hear the news and go, "Oh my God, Bob, I've known about that for a month," is to listen to the horn and to help keep the horn on the air. You know, I did the math, and if we could get 12 people a night, paying that less than 5 cents an hour for the program, if we could get, that's $10 a month, 12 people a night doing that over the course of a month, we'd be okay. But anyway, that's how you stay ahead of the news curve, is by being tapped into this program. But Dana Milbank, a month after I was talking about it, Dana Milbank wrote, in one of his first appearances on Fox News, "Glenn Beck sent a coded message to the nation's 6 million Mormons, or at least those Mormons who believe in what the Latter-day Saints call the White Horse Prophecy." Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. Oh, Moroni. Home the Kolob. Quote, and this goes back to November the 14th, 2008, just after Barack Obama had been elected, as Dana Milbank notes. We are at the place where the Constitution hangs in the balance. I feel the Constitution is hanging in the balance right now, hanging by a thread, unless the good Americans wake up. Dana Milbank puts in italics, "The Constitution is hanging by a thread." He writes, "Most Americans would have heard this as just another bit of overblown commentary and thought nothing more of it." That's why it's dog whistling. But to those familiar with the White Horse Prophecy, it was an unmistakable signal. The phrase is often attributed to the prophet Joseph Smith, you know, the guy who used rocks to look into a hat to read imaginary plates that were written. Yeah, that Joseph Smith. Founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of LSD, I mean LDS, or Mormon Church. You can put parens around the M between R and O, moron church. Smith is believed to have said in 1840 that when the Constitution hangs by a thread, elders of the Mormon Church will step up on the proverbial white horse to save the country. Brigham Young wrote in 1855, "When the Constitution of the United States hangs, as it were, upon a single thread, they will have to call for the Mormon elders to save it from utter destruction, and they will step forth and do it." Interestingly, as Milbank notes, 10 days before Beck made the statement on the Big Giant Heads program, he was doing his radio shtick, and he had Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, also a moron, I mean Mormon, when he said, "I heard Barack Obama talk about the Constitution, and I thought, we are at the point, or we are very near the point, where our Constitution is hanging by a thread." And Hatch says, "Well, let me tell you something. I believe the Constitution is hanging by a thread." Hatch again used that phrase in January 2009. I believe our Constitution hangs by a thread. And I don't know how many of you took me seriously when I said that white stock was the white stock was Mormon dog whistling, but it was. You bet it was. And what does that mean? Well, that means the buy gold and the buy freeze-dried food and the instant water, just add hot Mormon, all of those huckster things that run on his program are designed in anticipation of the establishment of an LDS theocracy. Oh, they seem so benevolent, don't they? They ain't. Go read the early history of the Mormon Church, and you will find that they were as bloodthirsty as anybody else moving westward, and perhaps more so. They engineered and perpetrated horrible slaughters on their way to Utah, as well as when they got to Utah. They sowed discord wherever they went. And just because they've settled down doesn't mean that they've gotten all, that they're as nice as those black pants, white shirts, and skinny black ties and bicycles would indicate. They don't get liquored up because they're staying sober to whip your drunk ass. You understand? So, well, there you go. Once again, that frayed purple velvet robe with the tattered moon and stars on it and the magic eight ball that always reads answer hazy, ask again later. And it just keeps coming in handier and handier here at the Horn. I don't mean to, and it's not magic. It's just the ability to look at the nation and understand where evil people, the evil places that evil people want to go. That's all. That's all. Now let me move a little closer to home, and then we will open up the phone lines. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you're on hold, just hang on there and we'll get to you. A story a little closer to home. You know, it was a couple of weeks ago. I had been in Kentucky, and having come back, I told you about a story that Matt Osborne of OsborneInc.com had unearthed in my absence about the fact that the state government Homeland Security Department in Pennsylvania, it turns out, had spied on various and sundry so-called liberal groups, including people involved in urging the abolition of the Appalachian apocalypse that is mountaintop removal. That was around September the 20th, maybe, no, even before then. Let me look. Come on, where are you? Yeah, 15 September, not 25, 15 September, that's when Matt Osborne tweeted that. Following up on it, Truth Out, as well as our good friend Ken Ward over at the Charleston Gazette and his blog Cold Tattoo, have both noted the fact that the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response has been involved in spying on so-called liberal groups, that they were the ones doing this in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's Office of Homeland Security contracted with the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response to assess terrorist threats impacting law enforcement priorities in Pennsylvania. Over the course of almost an entire year, the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response provided biweekly intelligence briefings to Pennsylvania Homeland Security. It was focused on jihadist communications and trainings throughout the world and social justice organizing and protests across the country. You want to read more about this, you can go over to truthout.org or Cold Tattoo. Both have done excellent work. Bill Quigley and Rachel Mirapol at Truthout, and of course Ken Ward Jr. over at Cold Tattoo blog at wvgazette.com. Based on these briefings, Pennsylvania Homeland Security then distributed the information to 800 federal, local, and state law enforcement agencies, along with what they called relevant stakeholders, you know, because people being poisoned by mountaintop removal and the Appalachian apocalypse, we're not relevant stakeholders, you see. No, relevant stakeholders are local businesses. The information provided included a gathering of the political views and movement-building strategies of hundreds of law-abiding groups and individuals. What groups were surveilled by the Institute for Terrorism Research and Response? MoveOn.org, the Ruckus Society, Immokalee Workers, the New SDS, Jobs with Justice, Brandywine Peace Community, Answer, PETA, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, MOVE, the Yes Men, Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, Climate Ground Zero, the Rainforest Action Network, pro-Palestinian groups, Puerto Rican nationalists, prisoners' rights organizations, citizen conservatives, conservation groups, and immigration activists opposing Arizona's crazy attempts to criminalize all non-citizens. That's directly from the Truth Out article. Well, there was more than that. Oh, yes. As our good friend Ken Ward found out, showings, screenings of a film were listed by the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response. Showings of a film. That film, many of you have seen it. It has run on Planet Green. It's called Coal Country. And its producer and director, Mary Lynn Evans, is a friend of mine. And it is the most balanced film yet about what mountaintop removal is doing in Appalachia. The November 2009 report from ITRR said, throughout the next 2 months, where's the ominous music? Can I borrow some ominous music from some Republican campaign ad? Well, I guess not. We'll just have to do this straight, no chaser. Throughout the next 2 months, I'll try to speak ominously. Throughout the next 2 months, Planet Green will air Coal Country, a documentary promising to reveal the truth about modern coal mining. Though Pennsylvania mountains have not been subjected to mountaintop mining as of yet, the waste materials from mountaintop mining in other states has been dumped into streams in Pennsylvania, reportedly causing damage to the environment. Fae. Environment. Causing damage to human beings. Anyway, on 15 October 2009, over 300 people attended a public hearing at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in Pittsburgh to discuss the Obama administration's decision to restrict mountaintop removal-related permits. Security was heavy. Then the contractors, otherwise known as mercenaries, from the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response said, TAMC analysts view this film as a potential catalyst for inspiring direct action protests or even sabotage against facilities, machinery, and or corporate headquarters. Actions against these facilities would likely cause counter-protests from the pro-coal side, which TAMC analysts believe already feels assaulted not only by environmentalists, but by any government bodies and or policies that support them. TAMC analysts will continue to monitor this documentary as well as the larger issue to determine whether destructive rhetoric or actions are being planned by either camp. I guess we always kind of did know that we were being spied on, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Still. You want the part of this that'll really, really bring up the vomit? Who, he asked, is our the Institute for Terrorism Research and Response? Well, sound like Ronald Reagan. Well, I mean, that sounds pretty heavy duty, doesn't it? Sounds pretty serious. If you look them up, they'll tell you our U.S.-based experts specialize in facing and overcoming domestic forms of terrorism like environmental, ecological, anti-abortion, anti-government, and homegrown religious extremism. Funny, they've never shown themselves much interested in the people who do the real damage. You know, the real homegrown terrorists. Gee, where were they when Oklahoma City went down? Oh, well. Where were they when the right wing nut flew his airplane into an IRS building in Austin, Texas? No. Where were they when a drunk dude headed for the Tides Foundation to blow those folks away? No, couldn't be found.
But by God, they know about that Cold Country movie.
ITRR overview. The Institute of Terrorism Research and Response is an American and Israeli nonprofit corporation created to help organizations succeed and prosper in a world threatened by terrorism. ITRR's Israeli and American experts provide counterterrorism training, seminars, and security specialization in dealing with threats such as weapons of mass destruction, suicide bombers, and other forms of international terror striking both the public and private sector. You know, by PETA, by the Rainforest Action Network. Organizations that are decidedly nonviolent, you know, to the point of embracing it as part of their operating philosophy and tolerating no one who does violence. That's right. The government of the state of Pennsylvania hired Israelis to spy on groups comprised of American citizens. The FBI couldn't lawfully do this. The CIA couldn't lawfully do this. So what happens? Pennsylvania hires mercenary spies to spy on groups comprised of grandmothers and grandfathers, of college students, of teenagers, of people subjected day in and day out to a constant rain of filth and poison because the people being poisoned are deemed to be the problem. You know, if you know anything about the history of the coal wars in Appalachia, you know that once upon a time, working people were threatened and sometimes gunned down in cold blood by an outfit called the Baldwin Thugs. Technically, they were members of the Baldwin Felts detective agencies, and they were hired directly by the coal companies. Well, ITRR provides via their Ground Truth Network, provides what they call real-time intelligence from the field. The fact of the matter is, in the background information, one of the first clients listed is the power industry. But they claim they keep the actual names of clients confidential. Back in the day, the coal companies hired the Baldwin Felts Detective Agency, who gunned down workers in cold blood. They came to be known as the Baldwin Thugs, and their conduct was so outrageous that they were outlawed in West Virginia. eventually. Then the Baldwin thugs who had been put out of work were rehired by the state of West Virginia and called the West Virginia State Police. I'm not kidding. This is historical fact. Look it up. Don't trust me. Well, here we go again. Only this time, the Baldwin thugs are foreign spies, Israelis, and they're working against me, and against my friends, and against my neighbors, and against everyone in this region who isn't in thrall to the mountaintop removal industry. It's a little unsettling. As I've said before, I am not afraid of some 6'7" Arab with one kidney and a portable dialysis machine watching cable in a cave in Pakistan somewhere. I am not afraid of him. Israelis working in the middle of the night doing surveillance, those guys scare me because they are bloodthirsty and they are killers. I mean, it sends kind of a chill down your spine to realize that you've been spied on by a bunch of Israelis. Does it to you? It does to me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm exercising my rights guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States of America. But an Israeli group is spying on me? I'm beginning to think I don't own enough guns. Can't afford them either. This pisses me off to no end. It would piss me off if they were Russians. It would piss me off if they were Austrians. It would piss me off if they were Belgians. But this pisses me off to no end because naturally, the fascist-oriented spies for hire just happened to be headquartered in Israel. Thank God I don't work for CNN. I guess I'd be fired by now. But this just happens to be the truth. An Israeli outfit is spying on my friends. An Israeli outfit directly spied on the people who simply wanted to go and watch a documentary. Does that unsettle you like it unsettles me? I've got children in my home. What if they know where my grandchildren are? And what, being Israelis, would they not do? That's the thing that really, really gives me the creeps. Not what would they do. What would they not do? Because if you happen to watch the news out of the West Bank and Gaza and the southern part of Lebanon or certain other parts of the Middle East or England, there's not a lot they won't do. Who do you suppose works for ITRR in Israel? Doesn't that sound like a nice job for a former Mossad guy? Now, this is not the Art Bell show. This is not Coast to Coast America. We're not going to take a call about a race of men who live in the trees. You're for tough legislation. Thanks for calling. I wait all night for calls like these. This is not that. This is real. am I supposed to respond to that? Do I gun up? That scene, I said that a couple of minutes ago. That goes against everything I believe. I've got firearms around here in case there's a rabid varmint coming up the yard. You know, the Atticus Finch stuff. Not because I want to shoot some human being. But then again, they're Israelis. You'd probably be dead before you knew they were there. Guess all you can do is go ahead and live your life. Isn't that it? Stunning. Just stunning. So that's the first hour. For 3 minutes before the hour, this is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. I guess Malloy ain't kidding. Watch your back.
I awake to find no peace of mind. I said, how do you live as a fugitive down here where I cannot see so clear? I said, what do I know? Show me the right way to go. And the spies came out of the water. But you're feeling so bad, 'cause you know. But the spies hide out in every corner. But you can't touch them, no.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Have a bone to pick with Bubble Genius. They're making voodoo dolls of me, Sarah Palin, stuffed with elephant poo paper. You real Americans, don't retreat, reload. Don't settle for a doll. Stick pins in the real thing. Now my advisor said, oh, Sarah, I don't think you mean that. So I fired him on the spot for infringing on my First Amendment rights.
Bubble Genius, bath and body stuff that's good for your body and your funny bone. Try our apple pie-scented Vote Soap or Eau de Wonk perfume.
Those Bubble Geniuses sound like commie, pinko, socialist to me. I mean, vegan soap I wash with reindeer fat like a true American.
Bubble Genius, for Election Day. Check out our promotion on Facebook to get a free soap for voting.
I repudiate your statement, you cackle of rads. The lamestream media is in the pocket of big soap.
Bubble Genius, for Election Day, and every day, but especially for Election Day.
So, how's that soapy, sudsy thing working out for you?
www.bubblegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, so I guess for the foreseeable future, I ain't getting on no elevators with no guys wearing no Don Quixote hats and Shirley Temple curls. Because, you know, three get on and two get off with those guys. Little guy over in the corner taking notes when you're walking in to see Coal Country. Just go over and give him your name. Oh! You feel kind of violated, you know? It's like walking in and finding out your home's been burglarized. Rotten bastards. From the top down, the Pennsylvania Department of Homeland Security, ITRR, and every single creature that works for them. Rotten, spying, filthy bastards. Email rolling in from Kate. Kate, who is a real ray of sunshine on these things. I say that tongue-in-cheek, you know, but she's got a point. Bob, you have no constitutional rights anymore. The wheels are falling off, Kate says. They will lob missiles into our refugee camps because we threw rocks at them. And help me understand, she says, how all this silly flap about election results is going to make any difference. It feels as if our future is all locked down. Now, that part I take issue with. Granted, there's a Brad blog story out there that will just curl your hair about the D.C. electronic election system being hacked on an experiment. There are some, at least, who would have the willingness to stand up against this kind of thuggery. Hint, none of them belong to the Republican Party. There's a lot of corrupt, rotten Democrats, but the Republican Party is entirely corrupt. I know. At this point, I'm grasping for straws because it's a question of degree.
Yeah, you know, you just want to walk up to the dude taking notes outside coal country and say, hello, my name's Charles Manson, and I'm here to see the movie. It's so upsetting. Because, you know, once again, we are taught what a profound difference there is between being Jewish and being Israeli. Israeli spies. You know, it used to be that they would just spy on us on behalf of the government. But now they've figured out a way to get our government to hire them to spy on us. Man, what a racket. Nice work if you can get it, huh? To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Hey, Cossack, what's up?
Not much. Did you get my little report?
I did.
It was really...
I take it you enjoyed the One Nation rally.
Oh, it was great. It was almost like being back in the 60s. I mean, it looked like America. You know, the crowd looked like America. The real America. You know, there were black people and brown people and, you know, immigrants. There were longtime residents. It was fun. It was great. And nobody was hating on anybody. I mean, it was very, very nice. It was almost like being back in the 60s.
Yeah, but you know that Neil Bortz and Rush Limbaugh and the Beckerhead, they all say you littered up the National Mall. You just left your garbage laying all over the place. Then the good, upstanding white people that came, they picked up their trash.
Yeah. This while I'm watching people go through and police the place. Don't think so. The problem is they don't have enough receptacles because they're afraid somebody's going to put a bomb in them. And the ones they have...
Oh, Jesus, I didn't even think along those lines. That's so true.
You know, they take out all the receptacles. There's only about two or three of them around the periphery of the area. And within a few minutes, they get to be overflowing. When you have that many people, I hate to say it, people generate trash. And, After you fill the cans, what do?
I think the responsible thing is, you know, pile of stuff around the can. Make it easy to get at.
We try to.
Sure.
Both get to it. You mentioned a couple of things, triggered a few thoughts in my head. You mentioned how obnoxious the Mormons were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what people don't really seem to understand, because we have such hazy knowledge of history, is that the Puritans, they didn't leave from England. I mean, they went back to England to leave, but that's not where they were.
They're Holland.
So, yes, they had PO'd the people in England so badly, they got thrown out. And then the Dutch came about.
Yeah, our good friend Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com, your RDA of irony, detailed all of that quite nicely. He's got you'll have to dig around a little bit, but he's got and it usually shows up around Thanksgiving, a little reminder of how obnoxious the Pilgrims were.
I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, it takes a lot to get the Dutch to get sick of you. Yeah. These were the most tolerant people in Europe. That's why everybody went to the Netherlands.
Right.
And yet they managed to tick them off enough that the Dutch had to throw them out. That's why they came to America. And if the Indians had had any inkling of what was coming, they would have thrown them out. It would have been a good idea.
I love that one T-shirt that's got a picture of three Indians on horseback. It says, fighting terrorism since 1492.
There you go. I just, you know... And the problem is, all these patriotic Americans have no conception of any of this that we're talking about. And yet, you know, they're patriots of what? Oh, we're exceptional. We're like no other people on earth. Yeah, but not in the way you think. Do you ever look at yourself, guys? You remember a guy named Walker in relation to Nicaragua?
I remember Eugene Hassenfuss.
No. This is a guy named Walker. This is right before the Civil War.
Oh, okay.
He was a real filibuster. The original filibuster. The ones that went the conquering through Central America. And he was the head of Nicaragua for, I think, 2 years. And he reinstituted slavery. And they finally executed him. Actually in Honduras, right where the Contras were camped. As it turns out. 100-some-odd years later. Amazing how these things work. And you know, what you need, Bob, you've got to get yourself an American Eagle, a Desert Eagle 50 cal.
Oh, no. That's not a gun. That's a hand cannon.
It works. It stops people.
Well, so does my 45.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I like a 45 because that's a really big bullet, and if you hit somebody in the fingernail, they're going to go to the ground and give you time to finish the job.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm ashamed of myself even talking like that.
But like I said, an Action Express 50 caliber will do as much as...
But you know where the Desert Eagle's made, right?
That's why I said that.
I got a boycott going on here.
Wouldn't it be fitting, though?
Let's don't even go there.
I am so perverse.
No, I like me a nice American. Wait a minute, Walther ain't American. I like a Sig. Wait, a Sig Sauer ain't American. Smith and Wesson.
Actually, if I could get my hands on one, what I would most love to have is a Luger chambered for the 45 ACP, and they actually had some.
That's a little too esoteric for my speed.
Have you ever shot a Luger?
Oh yes. I've also shot a Walther, and I mean, you know, gotta give them their due. They make some fine shooting irons.
Oh man, I mean, those are just natural pointers.
But the neat thing is the Desert Eagle people have come out with a little one that lays in the palm of your hand in 45 caliber. But we better stop this gun talk, or a significant portion of the audience will tune away. Well, guns and sports just put people off.
True, but the thing is, we really need to get through our, you know, get rid of this whole idea of exceptionalism, whether it is American exceptionalism or Israeli exceptionalism. Yeah, I am sick unto death of all these little fragments and pieces. You know, I don't believe in gay rights. I don't believe in minority rights. I go from a very simple standard.
Human rights?
Human rights, exactly. We are all human. Let's start with our commonality. I don't care what you are. I don't care your orientation, your pigmentation, or anything else. We start from the basis. We're all human. We're all in this together. Like it or not. And these Tea Party lunatics, they really are. They're Tea Partiers at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. And they're all partaking of the mercury. And they're all acting like it. I mean, they really, truly are mad as hatters. All want less government spending, but don't touch my Social Security or my Medicare. You know, like Angle.
Yeah, I know.
I'm receiving government benefits, but I think they should be cut for everybody. Except
right, or the Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. Yeah, I know. Kostak, good to hear from you. I'm glad you had a good trip.
Oh, I'm still up here.
Oh, you're still up there. Wow.
Yep. I'm kind of lucky. I'm fully mobile for a little while anyway.
Well, cool. Enjoy your stay.
Will do.
All right. You take care.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Kostak, usually from North Florida, but now hovering somewhere in the greater Metro D.C. area, I suspect. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. What's up?
Well, number one, I don't really have much sympathy for the Puritans anyway. I never have had.
Kind of hard to get all worked up for them, isn't it, considering their actions?
Well, considering that what they wanted to do was establish a theocracy and to impose their beliefs on other people at the expense of witch trials and things of that nature. I mean, it's...
Wasn't Governor Winthrop's original Thanksgiving proclamation a proclamation giving thanks to the Almighty for allowing the white people to slaughter a whole bunch of Indians?
I don't know about that. I haven't read his proclamation, but I do know that there were numerous excesses that were committed, not only against themselves, but not to mention what they did to the Native Americans who enabled them to survive their first 10 years as a colony. And I'm sure the American Indians probably regret it very much.
From the very beginning. Well, the ones who survived to regret it. Disease started doing a number on the North American continent almost as soon as the first white person set foot here. So
the Indians here had no natural immunity.
Right.
That the Europeans had, you know, been able to develop through centuries of plague and...
Well, one of the things that Jared Diamond points out in Guns, Germs, and Steel is that it was Europeans and Asians' close proximity to domesticated animals that brought them into contact with many of the diseases that became terrors, but that by virtue of their continued proximity, they developed their own immunities.
And by the same token, it was Edward Jenner who developed the smallpox vaccine using cows.
Yes.
So there it is. But, you know, earlier, and I tuned in late, you were referencing certain agencies and things of that nature and the measures which they can take. Well, I don't know how to say this delicately, but they can do anything basically they wish to do. I mean, one may have the freedom to say what he wishes to say, but they also have the freedom to exact terrible consequences upon those who say it.
Oh, there's no doubt to me that this business in Pennsylvania is a clear matter of attempted intimidation, although I do have to give credit to Governor Ed Rendell up there for immediately disavowing it and excoriating the people who engaged in it. Because
yeah.
This wasn't done on a federal level. This was done, the Pennsylvania taxpayer money was used to pay this Israeli agency to spy on law-abiding Americans. Somewhere in there, you would be a lawsuit lurking about.
In other words, this Israeli agency, does it have a name?
ITRR. The Institute for Terrorism Research and Reporting, or something like that.
I tuned in late. I didn't catch the acronym or whatever.
Institute of Terrorism Research and Response.
But this agency has been contracted to...
Was contacted by the Pennsylvania Department of Homeland Security to spy on citizens.
All right. Now, what were these citizens doing that would offend them so?
Well, the list. Where'd it go? The list included Move On. It included the Rainforest Action Network, Climate Ground Zero. They were all largely liberal groups.
Basically what people refer to as tree huggers.
Not just tree huggers. I mean, Move On, I don't think you could categorize Move On under the rubric of tree huggers, but I would say social justice groups would probably be a better catch-all. Because the fact of the matter is, Jim, if you're engaged in the struggle for social justice in this country, you are presumed to be operating directly contrary to the money-grubbing interests of corporate America.
I understand what you're saying now. Unfortunately, they have the money, they have the power, and they have the means to, as I said before, exact any consequence upon anyone who, in their eyes, is, shall we say, against what they represent, correct?
Yes. Although they claim to be merely an intelligence gathering organization.
Well, this sort of thing is not alien to me. I've seen this happen many, many times. Unfortunately, it will continue to happen. And that's just the facts as they are. It's unfortunate. I don't like it. But I want to clarify one thing. When I talk about speaking M16, I don't mean going out there with an M16A1 and shooting at anybody.
No, I understand that.
When I speak M16, that means when I tell you in strident terms, I don't agree with what is being said or what is being done.
I understand.
And I'm all too familiar with the nomenclature of firearms, Volta PPKs, Lugers, whatever. I mean, I've seen a Volta PPK. It can take out a plate glass window in a wide department store, and you can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's a very effective weapon.
Oh, it is.
But anyway...
Design elegance of its sort.
It is. It's one of the, you know, like I say, Ian Fleming chose it for James Bond's weapon.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, moving on, I sent you an email today about the Social Security thing. Did you get that?
I did, and I tried to open the link, and it was a non-link.
It was in Adobe 9.0, I think.
Well, it wouldn't open.
Well, that's...
But I take it was bad news.
Well, basically, it outlined the different scenarios they had for Social Security and this, that, and the other, and... an even more sinister suggestion was that they, instead of increasing benefits, that they could decrease benefits. One would be 0.5%, one would be 1%. So those things are being considered. I'll give you an example of what's happening in the federal sector. And I realize that most of your people out there aren't federal employees and they aren't federal retirees. But number one, Social Security will not receive any type of COLA this year. Number two, federal retirees will not receive any federal retiree type of COLA. Number three, if you have health insurance, I mean, I have health insurance through Blue Cross Blue Shield. Now, my Blue Cross Blue Shield is going to go up, and it's the best that they offer, 15.1%. Okay?
That's the premium increase?
A premium increase. Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. But an Office of Personnel Management and OMB, Office of Managers of the Budget, had $1 billion that they could have used to have eliminated that increase. They chose not to do so. And under the current Obama health plan, these insurance companies have been given considerable latitude, total latitude, to continue these increases to 2014. Now, personally, I've worked very hard for my benefits.
Indeed, you did.
And I feel like, you know, this is not really fair, particularly when the money is there and they could have used it to prevent this sort of thing from happening. And believe you me, I had a number of conversations with Washington Today, and I let them know exactly how I felt about it. Federal retirees, they're considering a 2% increase. I mean, federal employees. Federal retirees, no. As if to say, you know, they are better than retirees, which really makes me very angry. Particularly when you've done your time and done your service. And they're going to use this Obama health care plan to hurt a lot of people if they possibly are able. And I think they will be able to do it. I mean, they're going to use it. From what I understand, now maybe I'm wrong, to remove how many billions of dollars from Medicare?
I know what you're talking about. My problem, Jim, lies in the fact that this is the consequence of us, but a whole bunch of the people in this country and the majority of our politicians not realizing that the simple answer is universal single payer, period. Because then no one can be leveraged against another. You know, every time Democrats try to do something good, there's always a Republican standing by trying to cripple it and then say, see, we told you it wouldn't work. How many examples of that could you and I come up with in a matter of 2 minutes, Jim?
Well, it's a matter of physics. What I call political physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that is to be expected. So what they're going to do, as far as the insurance industry is concerned, they're going to use this Obama health care plan to raise every premium they possibly can to the maximum limits. And also, from the National Association of Retired Federal Employees, they're talking about the Obama health plan being inimical as far as medical services provided are concerned. This is what I'm reading off the Internet.
I don't doubt it.
Because people, if they have access to the provisions provided by Obama health care, it's going to increase an influx into physicians' offices, which they are definitely against. And, of course, it's going to, according to what I read, and I'm not passing any judgment pro or con on this. I'm just relaying information, okay?
Yeah, as it's been relayed to you.
Precisely. So I guess what they're trying to do is to make the passage and the effect of any type of national health care insurance as painful as they possibly can be, and they're going to try to put the weight on the people who already have insurance, as myself, and they're going to say, look, there it is. And probably they will be able to do it.
And that's what, and again, I say that's what comes of, see, that was the problem with the whole health care reform bill in the first place, is that by the time it got passed, it had been stripped of its teeth. So that you couldn't look at it. I mean, because I'm trying to remember what the particulars were of it, but I saw a story coming out of California a couple of weeks back, 3 weeks, maybe a month ago, about how California, insurance companies in California, we're going to stop selling, and it's reminiscent of the house fire issue. They were going to stop selling policies for children alone because they reasoned that that people would only buy them as a matter of desperation or at the last minute or something. Completely ends-based reasoning on the part of the insurance companies.
Well, end-based reasoning with them basically translates into higher premiums and what they feel like, you know, expenses may be passed on to them. They're going to pass it on to the person who has to purchase the insurance.
And Lottie in the chat room tells me, Jim,
that the insurance companies are working hammer and tongs, hand over fist, night after night, day after day, at the state level to defeat the 20% profit provision of the law. You know, because it's kind of clear as to how much of, you know, how much of proceeds can be directed toward profit. And of course that drives the insurance companies just crazy, because they're not in the business of helping sick people get better. They're in the business of helping their shareholders, and particularly their upper echelons, make more profit.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, that's the reason they have all these lobbyists there in Washington who are promoting their interest and who are removing any teeth from any law that is designed to ameliorate or make better any effects this health law could have.
And the only way you can ever fix that is to ultimately get to a universal single-payer system. And, of course, the people who stand, it works all over the world where it exists. But, of course, the moneyed interests have created this culture in the United States where everybody being able to go to the doctor is somehow communism.
Well, that is an unfortunate thing. That is a regrettable thing, because even if you are able to go to the doctor these days, the chances of you're seeing a doctor are very limited. You're going to see some type of health care practitioner or nurse.
Oh, trust me, I know of what you speak. here in the Kincaid household right now, we've got a boy with a boy recovering from knee surgery, a daughter who was diagnosed yesterday with mono, and another daughter diagnosed with strep. Because, you know, it's public school season, and a friend of mine referred to it the other day as kindergarten flu. You know, school season opens up and everybody gets sick.
Oh yeah, I've had mononucleosis, and I've also had strep infections. Let me tell you, I know exactly what you're
talking about. So when we go to the doctor downtown, we don't go to the doctor. Now the fellow we see is a nice guy and a smart guy, but he is no physician. He's a physician's assistant, ostensibly supervised by an MD. But it, you know, you're touching, by bringing that up, Jim, you're touching on a greater problem. We have coming, and it's been discussed on this program by a couple of experts, we have a crisis coming, because we do not have the medical practitioners to deal with the number, because it's a reality. I say it as a 47-year-old. You can probably acknowledge it at your age, and many others can as well. The older you get, the medical problems pile up.
They do. The human body does wear out, and you do become sicker. You do become in a position in which you are susceptible to things.
And the boomers are getting older, and that's a population for which we are not prepared to care. And I say that being on the absolute tail end of the baby boom generation. I am the last or next to last year of the so-called baby boom. And we don't have the nurses. We don't have the nursing assistants. We don't have the physicians. We don't have the beds. We don't have the skilled nursing care facilities. We don't have the medical care facilities. We are utterly crippled in terms of medical infrastructure for dealing with what is, and it's not a crisis that's coming. It's not anything extraordinary. It's the simple function of aging, and we're not ready for it.
But, you know, I really don't think they care about older people.
No, that's why we have nursing homes, Jim.
Well, right. And, you know, when I was speaking with one of these nurse practitioners or whatever they call themselves, they're not even physician's assistants. She was mentioning something about a certain medication, and she used the word exacerbate. And I looked at her, and I said, do you know the antonym of exacerbate? Huh? I said, the antonym of exacerbate is ameliorate. I never heard that before. And I said, I'm going to spell it out for you. And I spelled it out for you. I said, write it down.
You are your own little Reader's Digest. It pays to enrich your word power, Jim.
No, I don't like to see people who come into the a treatment room acting as though they are the ultimate whatever when they don't know shit from shinola, basically, about what they're doing. And they really don't care. I can remember, and there are a number of doctors in my family, when medicine used to be a way of life, now it has become almost a license to lie, rob, cheat, and steal. And when you get to be past a certain age, they really don't care what happens to you.
And I fear that that age is sliding downward. I just got an email in from Andy out in California. And he says, my girlfriend received a notice 2 weeks ago from Blue Shield WellPoint of California that her insurance premium would rise 14%. This verifies what Jim says is not only happening to him but across the nation. Obamacare is a failure in regards to cost controls. Heck, the consumer price index is only 1.6% on an annual basis. The price of our health care is insane. 17% of our gross domestic product compared to 8% for the rest of the OECD nations. The only solution is single payer, universal health care with one government-sponsored insurance company.
And you mentioned the CPI. Now, the CPI is what governs whether or not people get their cost of living allowance, okay?
Right.
Now, they are using that tool to prevent people from receiving cost of living adjustments or increases or whatever you want to call them. And the math simply isn't there.
Well, you know, I'm sitting here. I always watch the chat room during the course of the program, you know. And Glenn, one of our buddies from the UK, is in there right now. He's up late tonight, Glenn is. And Glenn says, with regard to health care in the United Kingdom, there's nothing to pay, either for the medicine or the visit. You get seen the same morning, afternoon, you book the appointment, and the same goes for hospitals. He says, my old man had heart bypass, first-class treatment, absolutely fine 8 years later. Not one penny piece to pay, or one bit of paperwork apart from consent to operate forms. Now, I just want somebody to tell me why we can't have that in the United States.
We can't have it in this country because, number one, doctors have become so greedy. Number two, they will say the reason they have to be so greedy is because they're so frightened of being sued. And the cost of malpractice insurance is so high. Oh, they'll come up with a whole number of reasons why we can't have it. And they defend it with capitalist logic. They do. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it, particularly when they have the government in their pockets. I mean, have you ever been in a legal situation in which you had to argue with a doctor? I can guarantee you right now, you will lose.
I have argued with those doctors. It was not a legal situation, but I didn't lose. Because the fact of the matter is that, you know, they're so concerned about being sued, but the fact of the matter is, less than 1% of all, medical malpractices in this country result in litigation, and a small fraction of that result in a judgment. The problem, if you're dealing with an enlightened physician who's willing to listen, the problem is, once again, the insurance companies, Jim, because they're the ones who set the rates. They are the ones who basically define the terms of the table game. And they do it so that, and they, again, they blame the lawyers. When you can, I could bring you an army, a phalanx of personal injury lawyers onto this program who could explain to you what an uphill climb it is to pursue any sort of a medical malpractice action, whether it be West Virginia, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, New York, Pennsylvania, where have you. It is damn near impossible in this country.
Well, in other words, basically what you're saying, these physicians can act and they can make mistakes with impunity.
Yes. You know, there's an old saying, I think it's attributed to Twain, Mr. Clemens, and writing in what he what he named the Gilded Age, he said something along the lines of, despite the enlightened age in which we dwell, I yet remain convinced that when undertakers and doctors pass on the street, they still wink at one another.
Of course they do. You know, I often heard this. Doctors bury their mistakes, and teachers' mistakes live forever.
That is true, too. Doctors are the only profession that get to bury their mistakes. But, you know, the one thing I said to this one physician once upon a time is, Doc, don't quit your day job. You're a great physician. You're lousy at understanding money, insurance companies, or any of these other dodges. Stick to Band-Aids, Doc. Wow. Because all they do is parrot, you know, when you receive the insurance premium notice and it says X number of thousands of dollars and underneath it it says, and it's all because of the filthy tassel loafered wearing trial lawyers. Well, you're thinking filthy tassel loafered wearing trial lawyer while you're signing, while you're filling out the check. They are, in a way, physicians are a captive audience.
Well, I think they're, shall we say it this way, they are a willfully captured audience. Because as long as it puts more money in their pockets, and as long as they can diminish the quality of care that they administer, and as long as they can transfer the care which they should administer to the patient to the so-called physician's assistants and nurse care health practitioners or whatever they call these women or whomever they are, men or women, they don't care.
Exactly. And as David in Tennessee notes, did you ever notice doctors trot out all that business about, well, we have to do tests to protect, unnecessary tests to protect ourselves from malpractice suits, but then you turn around and you notice that the doctors own most of the damn labs doing all the tests.
In many cases, they do. And in many cases, for example, the test and the results of these tests aren't even read properly. For example, you can get an MRI done here, but you have no guarantee that the radiologist who's interpreting the results of an MRI is even in this country, because in many cases they are transmitted by the Internet to some doctor in India.
Jim, you are preaching to the choir, my friend. I'm living proof of that. I had three CTs of my abdomen, all of them read by a fellow whose day job was apparently Microsoft tech support, and he was a radiologist by night somewhere in Bangalore. It took three CTs to discover the fact, and I mean, I've seen it, it's, good God, you know, it's like flashing red lights. It took three CTs for one of these overseas radiologists to notice that my insides are literally ass backwards. I mean, I'm thinking about going to a tattoo parlor and get, you know, over, as I'm looking down at it, to the left of my left of my navel, having tattooed appendix is here.
Well, QED.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I have to say. I'm not real happy with the way things they are. There's not a whole lot I can do about it, and unfortunately, you know, money is on the side of the lobbyists. It's on the side of the people who wish to remove the palliative measures from any type of public health law or public health type of program. And they have done it to the point that it is absolutely toothless. And it will give the insurance companies a minimum of 2 years to rob, lie, cheat, and steal, and defend it legally. That's what's happened.
Exactly.
And it's almost gotten to the point that most people are opposing this legislation because of these ramifications.
And because of the way that those ramifications have been framed.
Well, I mean,
granted, it's a big bill. But there's the only way you can make up your own mind is to read the law yourself.
And do you know how many pages that law is?
1,000 pages.
Hmm.
Fortunately, though, it's broken down by the topic. You know, section this, section that. It's not one long paragraph, you know? I mean, you know what the U.S. Code looks like.
No, it's not. And, you know, and when they craft this legislation, they can insert so many things into it. that it is really confusing for anyone to really interpret what they mean. But what they mean is they're going to remove any possible benefits from it that they can with catchphrases and clauses and, of course, the addenda, which they use. And they do this with incredible facility. You wouldn't believe it. I guess you would. Because I think you understand a little bit about how the law is written. And it's very important to understand the language of any type of law.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing. And I will let you go, Jim. This has been a magnificent conversation. But that's another thing. If I take the rusty red pickup truck down and have a guy put a new set of brakes on it, and the brakes fail, and me or my loved ones get hurt, knock wood. I can sue that guy, and I should be able to sue that guy. And a level playing field should obtain.
Well,
what's the difference between the mechanic who puts the brakes on wrong and the guy who goes in to do a breast cancer surgery and lops off the wrong breast or takes off the wrong leg?
No.
You know, my son was getting ready to have knee surgery the other day, and the first thing that the orthopedic surgeon did was he came in with a real big bright purple marker.
And marked the knee.
And marked the knee he was going to cut on. And he asked like three times, is this the knee? Yes. Are you sure this is the knee? Yes. He wasn't doing that to keep from getting sued. He was doing that to keep from up.
Well, he was doing that to be sure that he corrected the situation in the right limb. And I can understand that, of course. I mean, I can. I mean, because there are so many slip-ups that you read about that just make you absolutely frantic about going into any type of hospital or undergoing any type of procedure. Because, I mean, I've read them. You have, too. Just absolute horror stories. But as I said before, medicine used to be a way of life, and it used to be performed by people who were dedicated, who subscribed to the Hippocratic Oath to enter and to heal and not to harm. But I'm afraid it is not that anymore. It is basically a profession in which they want to make as much money and then get out of it as quickly as they possibly can. And we will notice that there is a diminishing number of people who are involved in healthcare services. We can't get enough doctors. We can't get enough nurses because people want to get in there, make their money, and get out. They just don't want to be involved in it anymore. Medicine is no longer a way of life. It's no longer a profession of dignity. It has become one of, I don't know what adjective to use or what word to use to describe it, other than what I've already said. They just want to go in there and get their money, and they want to invest, and then they want to get out of it and say, well, let somebody else take care of it. And you've got the influx of so many foreign doctors in this country, and their standards are a great deal lower in many cases than what they should be. In this very area, you have so many foreign physicians who I really question their ability to make judgments and prescribe treatment.
As well you should. As well you should.
Sir, that's enough. I've taken too much of your time already, but I wanted to surface these issues.
Well, Jim, you've done a good job bringing a lot of good stuff to light, and I appreciate it.
Well,
You are and you remain a credit to the program, and I thank you.
I appreciate your compliment, and I sincerely accept it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Take care. It's Conversation Radio. We mean it. This is not, hey, how are you? That's enough about you. Let's talk about me. With one hand tied behind my back, with half my brain tied behind my back, with talent on loan from God, margin call. This ain't that. Well, it's about 9 minutes before the hour, and before I go back to the phones, and I am going back to the phones, and there's about three lines open if you want to jump in. We have a gutless horse's ass out there. See, any time you mention Israel, you're going to get in trouble. Fortunately for me, I ain't Rick Sanchez. Now, a bunch of goddamned Israelis have spied on people that I care about. And let's be clear. Run little Timmy and little Cindy out of the room for a minute, would you? This might get unpleasant. I just got an email forwarded to me from our chief engineer, chief webmaster, web designer, and man about globe, John Fox. It comes from a person named, his email address begins with Yisrael. Subject, Jew hater. I thought I found a good liberal station to listen to, but instead I hear Jews love to kill. What garbage? Take a long walk on a short pier. Hey, Gene. Fuck you. Okay? I made abundantly clear that there is a profound difference between Jews and Israelis. I have dear and abiding friends whom I would bleed and die for who are Jewish. On the other hand, there is Israeli scum that is spying on my friends, my colleagues, and people who are being poisoned to death. By a gang of corporate crooks. I don't like it when anyone is poisoned for profit. Whether the poison in question be Zyklon B, selenium, mercury, arsenic, manganese, cadmium, barium, arsenic, I don't like it. So you take the long walk on that short pier, Gene. Because you will not put in my mouth words I did not say. Do you see how these pro-Israelis are? You cannot, in this world, criticize Israel without being called an anti-Semite. You cannot deliver a cold cup of coffee to Alan Dershowitz without being called an anti-Semite. And I will not wear it! No, sir! No, ma'am! I have nothing on this program but my candor my honesty and my own reality. It is nothing for me to routinely, and I have routinely, excoriated the filth of this world that denies the Holocaust, that derides people for their faith, even though I have none myself. But I will not be silent when foreign nationals are engaged to spy on people who are as near and dear to me as blood kin. I will not. And I will not allow some jackass, some jerk-off, to imply anti-Semitism on me because I have the temerity to speak out against foreigners spying on American citizens. And they did it. And yeah, while we're at it, the Israelis do kill people. And they use phony British passports when they do it. That's not speculation, that's fact. Just like it's a fact that an Israeli soldier walked up to a writhing, bleeding young American citizen on the Mavi Marmara and put a bullet through his brain when he was harmless and helpless. I will not hide from that. No, by God, I though you jerk off, will. This is the Horn, America's liberal voice.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
I may be wrong, but I believe that the ITRR and their subsidiary organizations, by the way, is the same group that's fed some BS terrorism organization to the Bush administration in the run-up to the Iraq War. They have pumped out a great deal of filth about about that situation. I'm sorry for the loss of temper. But apparently, Ron in Raleigh says, I just want to say amen. I've been called an anti-Semite because of my stance on Israeli foreign policy. I echo your statement. F you, Gene. Not our Gene, this Gene. Marty noting, Holocaust denial is one thing. However, to even ask questions about it is like questioning 9/11 or the JFK assassination. You know, Oswald alone, the Hartman line about the mafia in America. From my point of view, I thought you were referring to a corporation from Israel. I was. It's a nonprofit. They've got an office in Philadelphia as well. But it is owned. It is Israeli owned and Israeli motivated. And any organization like that, well, look them up. Go read about them and their subsidiary organizations, the Ground Truth Network. Here's one of their regular updates on terror threats. PA Intel Bulletin cites gas drilling protest concerns. Environmental extremists continue to target the energy industry. How can you target with peaceful intent? Targets are things you use guns on. Kate says, take a deep breath, Bob. If I had the energy, I'd call in right now and get you off the wall. By now, you're breathing deeply, but I would love to make you laugh. Good call with Jim. Glad to hear I'm not getting a cost of living adjustment increase again this year. At least I can plan for it and cancel that vacation. God, criticizing a country that fosters a fascist government and fascist companies is not the same as criticizing a race or a people. Criticizing the American government and American corporations does not mean I hate Americans. Far from it. But should I have just told you this story and not tell you who the group doing the spying was? Is the hold of organizations like AIPAC so strong that you cannot even identify the perpetrators? Anonymously coming in, that comment from the guy calling you a Jew hater, right on the mark when you said F you, and this is from a person who believes in peace. Because you see, this is how you don't have peace. This is how you have people dead in the streets. This is how you have a million dead in Iraq over phony baloney, ginned up, dummied up information. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Who came in? I thought I heard somebody say, gentleman. Who came in my office there, Bob? This is Dr. Remulak, formerly known as Caller Brian from New Hampshire. I've got it. You're going to be even more peeved by this discussion because this is what's happening. I hope your beloved son, Ferg, is recovering from the knee surgery there.
Slowly but surely, yes.
Okay, God bless him. But you know, the fact is, my medical practice here, I got to do something to really to survive here, and I just got this up a 6-week course there, and I'm a fully qualified surgeon from the Benihana School of Surgery and the Culinary Arts. And so in the near future there, being a progressive, Bob, being a real for the people type of American, this is the kind of thing, if these teabaggers take over Congress in 2010 and the Republicans in 2012 take the White House, and the fascism will be total. It will be irrevocable. I disagree with Mike Malloy, Uncle Mike, about that. We'll never be able to get it back if this happens. And what's going to happen for progressives like you and your beloved family, they, what would have happened? Say, this is just a simulation of what would have happened if it was in 2013, if your son had been 4 years younger and was trying out for football then, and it had been coming into my office there, me, Dr. Winifield Costanza Seinfeld
Remulak.
Son of a famed Serbian astrophysicist who's better than that stuck-up jerk, too, Nikola Tesla. He's the best Serbian astrophysicist and doctor of all kinds. Never mind the decals that are on his diploma there in downtown Belgrade, but that's not important. But the fact is that I, Dr. Remulak, would have to be performing your operation at only $39 because they'll have us so down to the bone there in depression and oppression there in the police state, these right-wingers, that that's the only kind of operation you're going to get to repair your beloved son's ligament. And it's going to just a $39 special just... It's wonderful, Bob. I've converted to Episcopalianism. I've been driven out of the Catholic Church by those fiends, those priests, and this former, I put that in huge quotes, Hitler Youth guy there, Benjamin. I like the big Polish lad much more than this guy that's replaced him there, and this dogmatic dictator there. He equated people in churches of all kinds who appoint or anoint. To make people female or female lesbians even in the Episcopalian Church of New Hampshire is possible. It was a wonderful thing. They make them priests or vicars or reverends, and he equated that with anybody who would dare to try to do that with a lesbian or a female to make them into a priest with the child molesting phony priest, the criminal demons. That he allows to be in it still exists in the Catholic Church and to be moved, and he was the main guy shifting them off to third world countries and who told people in 2004, Americans, you're not a real Catholic if you vote for John Kerry because he's pro-choice. These are the evil bastards. They drove me to Episcopalianism, but I'm also a Cao Daist, which is kind of, the Vietnamese Catholicism and Vietnamese Buddhism mixed together. But because of this Benihana school, I've been so heavily influenced, Bob, I'm also a Shintoist, the original religion of Japan.
Good God, Brian, you are the original St. Paul. You are all things to all men.
But the Benihana school is really, I'm good with a knife now, but you really got to tell, I'm not going to bother your kid there in this simulated operation there with any purple magic mark or whatever, but you just better tell Ferg to be calm and hold very still. Be very still.
Don't flinch.
Don't flinch, Ferg. Don't flinch. It just, here we go. Well, first we'll text, we got to test the kid's reflexes to make it look, right, respectable, right? Just think of this. If you're trying to get a scene there for all the listeners out there, try to think of, you remember the great comic actor Vernon Dent in The Three Stooges, the great supporting actor of...
Oh, God, I think you may be the first person ever to reference Vernon Dent on this program, Brian.
Like Emil Sitka, great supporting comic actor in The Stooges episodes there. Their short films are great, underrated comedians there, but A Bird in the Head was the title of that episode. He wanted Curly's brain to put inside the just captured and heavily drugged gorilla Igor, the beast of the jungle, they were always telling him, Mo, Howard, and on the rest, they were always telling him, just, okay, take it easy, Dr. Panzer, just don't go through the Polish quarter, okay, just stay in the office here, and we'll see what, and the fact is, that he was testing his reflexes, and Mo was slapping Curly around, and he slapped him in the head, not in the head, not in that beautiful head, but you gotta test your reflexes, okay, here we go, Ferg, hold still. I think that mountaintop removal there, Bob, it sounds like there's a lot of iron getting down to your area there, too. It sounds very metallic, Fergie's. He doesn't even have, the cast is off now, right?
No, there was never a cast.
Oh, that's right. Okay, but we got to hold still now, and the fact is, it's just going to be a couple of quick swipes there, like the Benihana. They're entertaining chefs, and I'm an entertaining surgeon, too.
Do you juggle your scalpels while you're at it, Doc?
No, I don't do that. I'm not like those guys who used to twirl the dishes there on Ed Sullivan. No, I'm not that gifted. So that's why you gotta keep doubly in mind there, Ferg. You gotta hold still. Just a couple of quick swipes here with the cool bar knife here. It's a wonderful. it's a gutting tool. Or I just used, I had it, I boiled it completely there, but I also, I was using it. It's also a Japanese ancient root cutting tool there. I was gardening with it earlier this summer, but I completely boiled it and then.
Yeah, well, you know, parsnips, kneecaps, you know, same, same, Doc.
Here we go. A couple of quick swipes. Okay, how'd that feel, Fergie? Okay, well, okay, now we're cleaning up, but we're cleaning up the after effects there. We're just trying to get him to... he was so heavily drugged, though, he's not crying as much as we thought he was going to, right, Bob? He's just... And
it's just some low-rent sobbing now, Doc.
And thankfully, Agnes got you inside that where you wouldn't have already stepped on me and made me into an Irish version of a tartar beefsteak by now for what, you know, for doing this to your son, your beloved son there. You're in restraints there in a chair. That's like a W.C. Fields short movie.
Yeah, I'm restrained.
He almost tortured a woman to death when he played the dentist there, with W.C. Fields, the poor woman there. But the fact is, okay, though you can see this, whoops, I've hacked off, we may have to amputate the bottom half of Ferg's leg at this point now, but it's only a $39 surgery. What do you want? The fact is, but remember now...
And if you screw up, and if you screw up, the surgery's free, right?
That's right. That's right. You get the $39 back. You don't get the leg back. Well, you can have the leg, the bottom leg, for a souvenir. You know, it's kind of like the inverse.
Why, this sounds like a magnificent medical system. Why hasn't it taken hold all over the country, Doc?
Well, it's about to come January 2011, Bob, with what's about to happen on November 2nd. That's the sad part about it. There's maybe too much truth in this. But, you know, I always love, in football, I know Ferg was trying out for the team this year. He may have gone on to other areas. He's a very creative young man. They're like his father and his mother. That's a good thing, too. But, you know, I always thought that the thing that really drives the great football team, especially the offense, of course, offenses, is the offensive linemen. You've got to have great, that are able to protect the quarterback. And also, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are just, you know, they're not allowed to lift weights. They can't take a big hit. They got to protect them. They got to also protect and have a great running game. They got to establish.
Yeah, that's why a couple of seasons from now we expect the quarterbacks to be wearing skirts.
That's right. That's right. And just you can't blindside them anymore. You can't do
the. By the way, our receptionist David in Tennessee has told me that little Georgie Tirebiter is in the waiting room.
Okay, that's your. Oh boy, that's who?
Little Georgie Tirebiter.
Okay, that's Georgie. Okay, that's, who's that?
Well, you know, that you'll find out soon enough. He's your next patient. They've got the $39.95 in hand, in correct change.
Okay, well,
and local currency.
That sounds like a great all-American name, the Tire Biter clan there. I love them. But the fact is, even with half a leg there, he could be a great offensive lineman. You know, they got great artificial legs. And with get the right surgeon there, I promise it won't be from the Benihana School there. I know people that actually did go to Hopkins Medical School and Harvard Medical School there in real life there, Ferg. So, and you have to remember, though, the great offensive linemen, I think, are the meat.
Well, we were kind of hoping that he would be the world's first one-legged place kicker.
There you go. Now, that's what I'm getting to, Bob. Because, you know, the Tom Dempsey, the greatest, they have, still has the record, I believe, 63-yard or 64-yard field goal for the New Orleans Saints, had half of his foot was missing. And, you know, that was my great-uncle Ernie Zubetsky down in New Orleans area. He was a podiatrist there. He was just there to Tom Dempsey came in to have a corn removed, and then half his foot was
gone. And the rest is NFL history. Exactly, yes.
The rest is that. And the fact is, the rest will be American history if we let these right-wingers into the phony elected office with this right-wing fascist media driving them in. But I just enough of the bit here. I think we've suffered enough there. And I also want to say I do another stupid bit there where it's I like that. I wasn't offended. I'm partly a Jewish ancestry. I love my Jewish family. They're good people there, and mostly liberal, I would say, that don't like these fascists that have taken control of Israel. And the fact is, you're not at all insulting the fascist government of Israel. If people would, if they started using the overusing the term Nazi or something like that, that could be taken as that's a bad way to speak towards today's nation state of Israel, no matter how bad things have gotten.
I agree. I agree, but look, you know, it was just a night or so ago that we were talking about this professor at David Ben-Gurion University, which, curiously, is in Israel. And this guy is being, his life is being threatened over there because he pointed out the nasty slide of Israel into the depths of fascism. And he put an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times a year ago. And from that day to this, they have tried to ruin him, to run him out of the country, to end his life.
That's right. It's disgusting, and I feel like, you know, you're not at all, they deserve the criticism. Like I was talking last night, what they did to those poor Turkish humanitarian activists there, they killed, the real evidence shows that at least four or five of those young men, including one Turkish-American man there, I believe his last name was Dogen, or I don't know the young man's last name, they died way too soon, like Rachel Corey there, and the place being demolished there, the poor little Palestinian family there. Disgusting. That's just as bad as a Panzer, a Nazi tank running over in its own way to start the invasion of Poland. They're going down that path. I joked about the Dr. Panzer of the Polish quarter, but they're going down that path of fascism that the Israelis are right now. They're too bellicose, they're too power mad, and it may take a Turkish Islamic bomb as well as maybe even an Iranian nuclear bomb alongside the Pakistani and other countries like Brazil. That's why they want the nuclear bomb, because the Americanos to the north we've had a very racist viewpoint in history towards them. Somebody just spoke early, I believe it was, oh, was it Cossack, about the General Walker there and invaded Nicaragua there? That was for Cornelius Vanderbilt, not yet another American corporatist, criminal bastard colonialist. And the Nicaragua and our racist attitude towards the people of South America, our greatest.
Now, careful, Brian, or people are going to start referring. Right wingers will start referring to you as a Kenyan anti-colonialist, and we can't have that.
That's still more white than my Irish, Scottish, Welsh, Breton, Celtic ancestry anyways. I mean, Jewish ancestry, too. So that's, you know, it's mixed in with it. And we have a little bit, like I said, a little bit of that barbaric Anglo-Saxon blood that we'll admit to there on the side of the family. Yeah, there you go. Our guy, I guess, yeah, probably English pirates or something. But the fact is, I you know, you didn't say anything bad about I vote. It's the people that are really...
I specifically said there is a difference between being Jewish and being pro-Israeli.
Yes, there is, and there's a difference between some of the most devout Jews, actually, to be true about it, to understand the religion. Like, I don't understand the Shinto religion or Buddhism. It was just a bit there. Then I landed as not so clumsily this time. Some bits are worse than the others. You know, but the fact is that the Jewish religion, the Hasidic Jews of New York City in that area, they don't believe that a state of Israel should exist at all. But they love Judaism. They're I believe they're quite welcome there to travel there. They're not, you know, but they just, it's a very complex, like all the great religions, like Buddhism, like Shintoism, like Chaldaism.
None of this is easy, Brian, and none of it's easy. That's why we're people.
And the people, I think that the people that tried, they've been thoroughly discredited, that tried to say that, you know, those four Jewish agents there that were looking at September 11th attacks there, I believe, you know, they were held for about 80 or 90 days. I believe they were Israeli agents who were trying to warn America to this Bush Cheney criminal regime that did not want to listen to all the warnings from 20 or 30 countries, or their intelligence agency or more, that they've got those Twin Towers, they've got the Pentagon, they got the federal buildings in New York City and Washington right in their sights, like the Presidential Daily Memo of August 6, 2001. They didn't want to listen, and those Israeli agents, when they saw that what they were tailing these Al-Qaeda bastards, what they were trying to do actually happened. And they knew it was coming, and that's why they set the explosives in the building, is my belief. But I'll not get way off on that. We do have an election to win at this time, and that's the fact that I know it was a stupid comic bit, but that's the kind of you couldn't call it medical care, but the people, we'll be lucky if we get any medical care if these Tea Partiers get their wish, and they are willfully ignorant, but they, in the end, the Koch brothers and these corporations that are using them, they're not just, it's every bit as much, it could get that bad too, but I hope and pray that it doesn't, like Hitler and Goering and the others, and Goebbels especially used the SA, was it, right? Then the SS took over from them, the brown shirts, who did most of the muscle work to put them into power, intimidating the rest of the German population. And yet they ended up the night of the long knives. That's a mild thing for what what these corporations have done, and the Koch brothers and the rest would like to do to these Tea Partiers. And this is they are fascists. They are not like a Republican named Abe Lincoln in the 1850s.
No, big difference. Big difference. That Republican Party no longer exists. In fact, you could make the argument historically that the Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln ceased to exist by the time of the Grant presidency, frankly. You know, by 1876, any idea of Reconstruction in the South was dead. And from that time forward, the Republican Party becomes nothing but a vehicle for corporate rampage, railroad companies and the like, such as it was back then. Hey, Brian, I got to run along, but it's been great good fun this evening.
We've got to try to have some humor about all of this all the time. Talking about humors, I'll check Fergie's humors next week, first thing, okay?
Absolutely, and make sure you bring your black bile collection, the specimen dish.
Okay, and for some video training, I think I'll watch some of that. Was it Steve Martin on Saturday Night Live? He did something medieval.
Oh, yes, Theodoric, medieval barber of York.
That's right. That's what
absolutely. And by the way, just because you'll get a big giggle out of this, Brian,
okay.
I got up the other morning, and Agnes said, come here, Bob, come here. And I walked over, and what was she watching? She had downloaded it. What was she watching on the laptop but Santa Claus Conquers the Martians? And she said, you will not believe this. I said, oh, no. I'm so far ahead of you. Brian turned me on to that a year ago.
And keep that movie away from Fergie. He's a very intelligent and intellectual young man. Keep that movie far away from him, okay?
All right, you take care, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Brian, or Dr. Remulak, calling from New Hampshire. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program. I know. Hey, it's Rick Goodner, horn psychotherapist. I could probably use a little help.
Oh, you probably can't. You're in good shape. Great show, by the way. I've really been loving it. Really, really something. It does not surprise me at all that liberals are being spied upon. Not in the least. Kind of ran into something like that myself. You remember a few years ago I told you that since I started doing the radio show that my passport's been flagged?
Yes, I do recall that.
And every time that I go to another country, I'm usually held for a few minutes. They never say anything to me, but then, you know, after about 30 minutes or so, they just kind of let me leave. So, you know, I've always thought that maybe they're kind of wanting to see if I'm doing something. So now I'm a liberal. I must be a horrible person. Anyway, I applied for a federal job.
Dear God. They do imbue you Texans with brass, don't they?
Oh, they do indeed. They actually did the security clearance on me. The only thing that I have on me was I did a liberal talk show.
Jesus, that was on your security clearance.
I didn't get the security clearance.
Son of a. Well, you know, it wasn't a week ago that my member of Congress labeled me and my colleagues and my friends and neighbors as threats to national security.
Well, okay, that's fine. Sorry, had my windows open. If we're threats to national security, it's time for Rick to come back to the show.
No, I think it's past time for Rick to come back to the show.
I should be able to get computer up and running and everything ready within a week or so.
Yeah, you can take the microphone and the mixer and all of that stuff out of mothballs and get it running.
Because I'm kind of pissed now. You know, all they had to do is give me the stupid job and they would have shut me up because the law is that I can't do the liberal talk show because I couldn't talk against the government. You know, I'm working for them. So if they want to try to silence my freedom of speech, then I'm coming back to the show. If y'all have me, of course.
Oh, we will more than gladly have you.
Oh, how evil.
That way we will be back to having two Ricks.
Yeah, it'd be the Rick. We had at one time the Rick Weekend. That was
At one point, there were you three Ricks total.
Yeah, wasn't that something? Okay, as far as guns are concerned, if you're a bit short, I'll be happy to take care of you on that. There's no problem. I do want to say one thing. You were talking about American made and something made overseas, the weapons.
Yes.
I have a Glock 45 because I love the sound.
See, I'm just scared to death of a Glock because I will shoot myself.
Well, no, it doesn't have a safety, so yeah, you, you've got to be real careful. But also have, at one time I needed a gun and didn't have tons of money, so I went ahead and bought an American-made High Point for $150. I spent $800 on the Glock. The High Point holds less ammunition. It holds 9, well, 10 if you chamber, instead of 14. And
but you know what? If either 9 or 14 rounds won't get the job done, presumably 100 rounds wouldn't get the job done.
Absolutely. But, you know, if you use the High Point, you're going to get the job done. It hits the target every time. The Glock.
Ooh, a little nail driver.
It's a beautiful little weapon for $150 as opposed to $800.
What kind of frame? I mean, is it a semi-auto, wheel gun, what?
It's a semi-auto, and it's heavy. It's heavy, which is good if you don't like a kick. I don't mind a kick, but some female friends of mine prefer it because it has no kick.
Well, you may have heard, I guess it was a week or so ago, when I was telling the story of taking Agnes to the gun range.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, back when we were beginning our relationship and I proposed and everything, I gave, you know, it's West Virginia. Vaguely similar to Texas in some ways, I suppose.
At the knee, are you?
To
the gun range.
Yeah, I took Agnes to the gun range and presented her with her engagement gun.
Wonderful. See, you're talking.
Got her a stainless frame, the rubber gripped Ruger 357 mag.
Cool.
And, you know, just because we didn't want to go through the 357 rounds, we loaded it with, just 38 caliber. And, you know, pointed her downrange at the silhouette, you know, the bad guy, the ubiquitous silhouette of the bad guy.
For a woman. I hate being sexist, but a revolver is a good weapon for a woman.
And, showed her how to, you know, hold it all Angie Dickinson style.
Mm-hmm.
And instead she went sideways with it, homegirl style, and while pointing the firearm directly at the silhouette's head, shot out its crotch with 6 rounds.
Y'all were using one of those bells. Cutouts, weren't you?
Yeah.
You know what she was saying, don't you? Bob, be careful and treat me with knives.
Right. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
When my
M-A-G-N-U-M.
When my daughter brought her soon-to-be husband home to meet us, I just came back to the range and I gave him a present of my target.
There you go.
Now, you know, just get it right up front. Nothing sad. Just, here, you might want this.
It's a beautiful thing.
Uh-oh. Something happened to my...
What?
Oh, okay. Got it now.
Oh, okay.
Computer came back on, and I was getting double voice here.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
Well, okay. I'm sorry about the Israel thing. People love to call people names.
Well, they do.
Take it serious.
But for some reason or another, that seems to happen more I actively avoid bringing up stories about Israel because mostly I just ignore them. Because anytime I bring up a story critical of Israel, I will get emails calling me Jew hater, Nazi, anti-Semite, oven builder.
Yeah. I've got the same thing on blogs, but I don't back down. You don't back down, and that's just the way it is. And they're going to call you names. It's the paradigm they have set up in their lives.
But the funny thing is, if I say something nasty, not nasty, but if I say something critical of the United Kingdom, I don't get that email. If I say something critical of France, I don't get that email. If I say something critical of Japan, I don't get waves of Japanese emails telling me that I'm somehow bigoted against Japanese people. It's only when you touch the third, the geopolitical third rail of Israel that you get that crap.
One thing you can really do to piss off a group of people is to point out that a fascist country is fascist. You will get all of their people coming to their defense saying they're not. I've been to many, many countries, a lot of them fascists, a lot of them kings, a lot of, you know, all that kind of crap. Very totalitarian countries. And it's the same thing. You say anything about them, and they have tons of people come to their defense. It's just
because that is the authoritarian response, is it not?
Right. You don't have to defend America. People can say whatever the hell they want about America. We don't care one way or the other, because we know that basically we're good. There are some bad things, and we'll criticize it ourselves. But if you know that you come from a country or you're a part of a country that's fucked up, you get kind of upset when people say, hey, your country's kind of fucked up. How's that for clinical?
Right. That's a term that's used only by professional psychotherapists, isn't it?
Right. We do not want the general public using that.
Well, it's right.
Don't worry about it.
Well, I'll try not to, but it still it hurts.
Mm-hmm. They want it to hurt. And they would love that if people you care about would jump up and say, oh, yes, he is racist. You know, it's just part of the game, and it is a stupid game. A diddly game, but stupid, and still a game, where we're going to pretend that we're right about everything. And anytime any country or any group of people say that they're right about every single thing, you know that they're wrong about almost every single thing. Look at the Tea Partiers. Look how they group themselves around the flag and swear up and down that they're the most democratically minded people in America and they are the most Christian, and yet they do the most undemocratic things and the most unchristian-like things you can think of. When they wrap themselves in that kind of regalia, you know that it's a lie. And countries are the same.
Well, and I suspect this email actually came from Israel.
No, quite possibly.
But people, you know, what amazes me, Rick, and you have the mantle of authority on this, not I.
No, I have no authority.
But expertise then. What amazes me is that I can say one thing, and somebody's biases and prejudices run so deep that they hear something completely different.
Always. Everybody colors what they hear, what they see, due to their own prejudices, their own fears. I mean, it's very, very common. That's the reason why a few years ago they came out with this thing, what you see and what you perceive is real. It doesn't matter what reality is. It's what you perceive that is real. Well, my head almost exploded when I heard that, and I even put that in one of my books, a whole chapter on that. No, stupid. If you perceive something stupid that wasn't meant, that's your perception. That's wrong.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's right because you perceive it. Bob is not a bigoted anti-Semite. He's not.
I mean, I have my bigotries, and I will own them.
Oh, I have mine, too.
I'm horribly bigoted against the stupid.
Stupid. Well, Republican, same thing.
I'm bigoted against Republicans. I am bigoted against the fundamentalists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm bigoted against teabaggers. I won't hide from those. But you know what? I was listening to Malloy last night, and some wingnut was waiting to come online, come on the show, and he was talking to the lovely Kathy Bay, his wife, and he said, you know, I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to do this. Hang up on him.
Yeah.
Because you get to that point. You know, good God, it hasn't changed, Rick. There's still 1,000 hours of right-wing talk for every hour of liberal content.
Look, it isn't.
They've got Hannity, they've got Beck, they've got all these freaks that they can call. But somehow or another, they manage to dial with one hand and do something ugly with the other, and they want to take up time on liberal radio. Well, you know, I'll use that clinical term that you used. F them.
I'm sorry, you're not a clinician. You can't use that.
Well, I'll send in the fine.
Oh, look, Fred. I'm completely lost for words right now. I'm not even so sure that they are independent people out there just waiting to bitch. You know, a lot of people get paid to just go on and blog on liberal blogs. I'm sure of it. People.
Oh, no, they've admitted it.
Yeah, I believe it. I really do. So liberal shows too, sure, they all had their shield coming on. Back when I was young, they used to have lectioneers who would go out to the polls, although there's a sign saying you can't do it, and they would sit there and lectioneer for their candidate as you're going through the door, which is illegal. But, you know, they pay people to do this. I don't know. I would not let it get under my skin.
Well, I won't. I'll be okay as soon as I hear of the first Pabst Blue Ribbon. And that's only because I don't have any Shiner or Lone Star handy.
Hey, Pabst is a good beer. It really is. I'll have to send you some Lone Star down, though. I mean, that is my favorite. Shiner's is good.
Well, you know that the folks who own PBR also own Lone Star, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And it is owned by Americans, no less.
Well, as it should be.
Yeah, PBR, Schlitz, Lone Star, Old Style.
Old Style, I remember that.
Oh, you know, I had Old Style in the right field cheap seats in Kansas City watching the Royals play the Yankees one time and had a deliriously good afternoon of heckling Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty good beer. That's been for ages, ages and ages. Well, sir, I don't want to take up much of your time. It's just that if y'all have me, I'm coming back. If I'm not going to be able to be hired because of my radio stuff, then I think it's time to do some heavy-duty radio stuff.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the pay scale remains the same, Rick.
Oh, great. I always really, really enjoyed that money. That was just so good. It really helped out.
Yeah, now you're rubbing it in.
No.
John Fox just said, did I hear Rick is coming back? Farkin' awesome!
Oh, you know, I was actually toward the idea to come back earlier, but I had some computer problems, and it's taken me this long to figure it out. I hope I can save everything. I got a part to come in to download all my old shows, because if not, they're lost.
No, they're not.
And
let me just have a quick look here and make sure. The file's still there.
Wow.
I've got them all.
Oh, good Lord, thanks. But anyway, I'm going to try to do that, and I'm hoping to save the program that I do the program with. And if I can get all that done, I will start shooting out some stuff. And I've talked to Tim from L.A., the possibility of going live, so we might be able to do that.
That could be big fun.
It could indeed. Well, anyway, this is something that I don't want to get. I'm not going to hold you to on the radio. But we can talk about it later.
Consider me held to it. I mean, all I got to do is press play.
That's good. Sounds like fun. And anyway, I'm kind of pissed. They thought they heard from me before. Wait till they hear from me now.
Ain't nothing worse than a pissed off Texan.
Okay. Well, get to those telephone calls. I'm sorry about earlier, but I had to run off. There was a woman out.
Oh, no, that's more than okay. I understand in abundance.
There was a woman screaming out in the road, so I had to pick up the ball bat and go hit a dog in the head.
I hate it when that happens.
It was attacking her kid in the stroller. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah, well, no.
That's what the Atticus Finch gun is for, but, you know, when the kid's too close.
Well, you don't really want to shoot around a kid or anything, but a baseball bat's pretty nice, and it does the same.
It gets their attention.
Good night, sir. Everything's fine. Don't worry about these goons, because that's probably someone who's spying on you anyway who sent that email.
Didn't think about it like that, but come to think of it, yeah, you're probably right.
Don't worry about it. We'll give them hell now that we're back together.
All right. Later, Rick.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner with a stunning announcement. He is coming back to the airwaves right here on the Horn. And we go onward, I think. Or not. Okay, not. Let's see, a couple of emails rolling in. Andy wrote back. He said, Bob, kudos many more times. Thanks for exposing the Israeli spy story targeting us, me, anyone, taking on the corporate fossil fuel military-industrial state. We all know that any negative PR against Israel is unacceptable. Give the bastards hell, Bob. Thanks. Couldn't have said it better myself. And then Andy being, we're liberals. We're fact-based people. He says, also, I was wrong in my last email. August's year-over-year CPI, Consumer Price Index number, was 1.1%, less than the 1.6% that I got wrong. Sorry. says Andy. I should have double-checked. Even better. It was even better than I thought. Give them hell, Andy. Well, I like to quote the dear old Harry Truman in that regard. I just give them the facts, and they think it's hell. Yeah, indeed. Jim sending in a follow-up email with regard to what I said about the fall apart of the Republican Party with the death of Abraham Lincoln. The email titled 40 Acres and a Mule. So were the promises of the radical Republicans. Acts engendered to create everlasting hatred between the races with black codes and Jim Crow laws, not to mention the KKK and southern trees bearing strange fruit. Indeed. And I've been corrected by at least two people about Tom Dempsey. He is now, he holds the record for field goals, but he shares the record with Jack Elam of the Little Timmy Gebo Denver Broncos, who matched his feat in 1998. Fact-based. If nothing else, this program is fact-based. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, listen, I just want to, I listened to what you said about the spying business, and, I mean, people just make up wholesale shit, right? I mean, you didn't say anything remotely, to what that email was. I mean, I'm just sort of stuck on that. It's like they just hear whatever the hell. They hear Israel, and they just have a form email that they send out?
Apparently.
Because you didn't say, I mean, it was nothing. I was just like, oh, dear God. You know, it wasn't even like you said anything, even skirting around the area. I mean, unlike me, who sent you the Rick Sanchez email, but I'll own it, you know. I know, I shouldn't be joking, but...
Yeah, see, there's a difference between Rick Sanchez and Mel Gibson and this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, though, you were just putting out facts, and if it just happens to be, you know, Israel who's doing the...
Look, if it had been...
Who cares?
You know what? Boss Man Wayne will tell you gladly that he is of Serbian extraction, and you know, proud of it. If it had been a Serbian firm, you know what? Boss Man Wayne would have been cussing him.
No, but the thing is that this country that, any country that maintains an open-air prison of 1.1 million people, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that.
You know, I just think, you know, it's just too much. I'm so sick of it, and you know, I'm sorry that you got that, because it's like, you know, you don't need to be shut up. What do they think, you're going to stop talking because they sent you that email? I mean... I just wonder, it's sort of jerk.
Well, you know, if he was being genuine, he said, I thought I'd finally found a liberal station I could listen to, and then he goes all Jew hater.
Yeah, blah, blah. That all just that don't ring too true to me, but anyway.
Well, you know, but there's that conscience part of me that goes, you know, God damn.
I don't know, but I'm just saying.
I can only be liberal as long as I'm liberally agreeing with every, you know, the rest of the Horn family is not like that.
Well, no, but it's just the whole, it's so oppressive to me, too, the whole idea that, you know, you're going to get this sort of automatic comment anytime you mention, you know, the state of Israel. It is so disgusting, really.
Well, you know, bless her heart, I checked in the Horn's Jewish mother, our blogger, Texas Betsy, checked in while this was all going on. And I just said, you know, I want you to understand. I hope you know I'm not what that guy said. And she said, I know you're not.
No, but it is enough to make a person crazy. So I appreciate your, you know, sort of frustration about it. But anyway, I just sort of thought, you know, this is so old and tired. But anyway, I was wondering, did you hear about the 30,000 people that showed up for some Please Help Me Save My Home help in Los Angeles?
No, yeah, is this like Chicago and Atlanta Redux or worse?
It happened over the weekend. It wasn't the people waiting for government housing. They had this program where I think it's the Community Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, so they have like people to help you try to renegotiate your mortgage, right?
And a small army of 30,000 showed up.
Yeah, that's the thing. The number is what I was, you know, just struck me. In the meanwhile, you heard about that woman who had to lock herself in the bathroom.
I've got that audio here. Let's hit that story real quick since you brought it up. A woman living in the greater New York area, right?
Yeah.
She's living in her house. She's living in her house. That's it. And this happens. This is the audio of the 911 call. This is breathtaking.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, sir. Somebody's trying to break into my house.
At what address? And is this going on right now, ma'am?
Yes.
Tell me what's
trying to break in.
So do you know who this person is?
No.
Do you know?
He's trying to break in.
Okay, can you tell me what he looks like?
No.
Is it a male or female?
I don't know.
Is he in the back of the house or the front of the house?
Front.
What is he doing?
He's trying to break in. I hear him at the door. Please.
Just stay on the line with me, ma'am. I've got deputies coming, lights and sirens. You hear somebody trying to open the front door?
Yes.
Ma'am?
My alarm is going off.
Okay.
He's in. He's in the house.
He's in the house?
Yes.
Where are you at?
I'm locked in the bathroom.
Okay, stay on. I'm going to put my dispatch on. I'm not hanging up with you. You're going to hear a click. Stay with me.
Okay.
I'm still here. Tell me what you're hearing.
I don't know. Nothing. But I know he's around here. I know he is. I'm locked in the bathroom.
Okay. Where is the bathroom in the house?
I don't know. You walk in the door and it's on the right-hand side.
So it's right at the front
door. My alarm is going off. My alarm is going off.
Ma'am, I've got deputies coming.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's a male outside and inside? Is that?
They've got
I don't
in.
Know. I don't know. I'm locked in my bathroom. I don't know. I just know somebody broke into my house.
Okay, so you're locked in the bathroom.
And the alarm is going off.
Okay. What else do you hear besides the alarm? Did you hear anyone?
I hear him breaking in, like hanging around. He opened up the door. He got in my house.
Did you see him?
No, I'm locked in the bathroom.
Okay, I understand, but you said he got in the house. How did you know it was a male? Did you hear him? Or?
No, I'm just saying he, I think.
Okay,
we've got lots of deputies coming, okay?
Thank you.
What is your name?
Nancy.
You just heard him at the front door?
Yes.
Did they kick the door in? How did he get the door open? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Ma'am, this is just standard questions. I've got deputies coming, but we wanted to know. But did it sound like he was hitting the front door?
Yeah.
Okay, I've already got a deputy on your street, okay?
Yeah.
Just stay in the bathroom, and they're going to tell us when it's safe for you to come out.
And this goes on for another 400 or so seconds, doesn't it, Sandra?
No, it's too much. And the thing is that, you know, the idea, these banks, I'm just so
well, that's
like,
the thing.
Hello?
The guy who broke through the door was what will we call him, a kneecapper from J.P. Morgan?
Well, yeah, you know, the so-called, in quotes, contract that they're trying to say, well, we can't keep, you know, their qualm is that they can't keep track of who's going where. And it's like, well, what the hell?
I know.
Anyway, listen, I have to go. I just...
No sweat, but I'm glad you brought that up and reminded me, because this had to be...
Yeah.
Breathtaking.
Yeah,
simply
man.
Breathtaking.
Anyway, have a good evening.
All right, thanks, Sandra. Bye now.
Bye.
This guy turns out to be a J.P. Morgan Chase contractor. Or J.P. Morgan, I guess. J.P. Morgan is her mortgage company. Now, upon inquiry, the bank says, well, the home was abandoned. She never established a mortgage payment plan. The home was abandoned. The utilities had been shut off. There's only one problem. They're lying. Because her utilities are current. She's there all the time. Her water is connected. Her electricity is connected. There's only one problem. She's 3 months late on her mortgage. Interestingly, it was J.P. Morgan who recently froze 56,000 foreclosures. This home wasn't in foreclosure. But there is nasty business afoot in this country. Let's hear a little bit more.
There's no one else there with you. Yeah, go ahead.
What color is your house?
It's gray.
Gray. Do you have any cars in the driveway?
No.
Okay.
Hear her alarm going?
I know he's still around. I know he is.
Okay, is it a single-story house, two-story house?
It's a single-family home.
Okay. Okay, and do you have a fenced-in yard?
No.
I mean, I understand the questions being asked. I'm sure you do, too. Because the last thing you want in this situation is for the cops to go blowing through somebody else's door.
Did he, like, ring the bell or something first? Or?
No, he just knocked on the door.
So there wouldn't be any vehicles in the driveway, right?
No.
You know, you're a burglar. You don't see any cars in the driveway. You knock first. If somebody comes to the door, ma'am, I'm from the power company. I just did. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? Is your refrigerator running? Anything. But if there's no answer to the knock at the door and you're a burglar, well, go on through.
I want to make sure we're at the right house. Complainant sees a silver pickup in a driveway.
Yep, that's it.
You have
a silver pickup. No, I don't. It's his.
Okay.
Are they here? Is it everything here?
Hold on. So you saw the pickup out front?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, take a deep breath. We're there. We're out in front of your house. The silver pickup is still in the driveway. Just stay with me, okay?
Yes.
But you saw the truck in the driveway?
Yes.
Okay.
This is America. What did Kate write earlier? You have no rights. This is America. Not the cops. Not the FBI. The bank will come through your door even if they have not yet foreclosed.
You don't know anybody that drives a silver pickup, correct?
No, I don't.
Okay. Just do me a favor and stay right there in that bathroom. And like I said, the deputies will tell us when it's safe for you to come out. You're doing a great job, Nancy. I know your nerves are frazzled right now. They have somebody secured, so stay right there for right now.
Are they at the house?
They're at your house, yes. They're out front. That's how we know the silver pickup. It looks like we have a subject secured. But just stay with me because they're going to want to clear the house before they let you out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just stick with me. But, I mean, I sent them emergencies, so there's a lot of them.
Thank you.
No problem. You don't have any pets in the house, correct?
No.
Okay.
Let's not shoot Fido.
And I know sometimes it seems like it's forever, but we ask questions because we're trying to get as much information to our unit. You know, you guys are our eyes and ears, and we're trying to feed them information as they're going so they know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that the reason you keep the phone line open is because that's a lifeline. If the guy comes barreling through, I mean, this is all being recorded, and if the guy comes barreling through the bathroom door, you want to be able to at least hear that. This is evidence. But they secured the guy, then the police came in and did the right thing, they secured the building, and the guy said, "Do you know who I work for? By God, I work for J.P. Morgan!" This woman had done nothing wrong. Jim asking by email, what the hell? Does 911 need a fax or transmitted photos? Good Lord, is she applying for a federal job? I know, it sounds a little bit much, but the fact of the matter is that 911 dispatcher's doing a pretty good job. Because she's creating a viable record. David in Tennessee noting, well, it does make some sense what you're saying, Bob, but by now the intruder would be wounded or dead at my house. This woman lives in New York. You know, once upon a time when we lived out in the far, far country, where calling law enforcement meant that they might show up to run the yellow police line tape and draw the chalk outline of the body, I mean, that's as much as law enforcement could do. It's a little bit better here, but not much. We just hung a sign on the front door with a smoking revolver on it that said, we don't call 911. You'd be surprised how many rural homes those became quite popular with at the time. This is America. Welcome to America. Where J.P. Morgan can, by God, knock down your damn door whether you like it or not, because if J.P. Morgan decides you owe them money, well, even if you don't, even if you haven't been foreclosed on, the banksters are getting a little nervous. You wonder why they're outspending, why Republicans are outspending Democrats 7-1. Guess where the money's coming from, sunshine? But you know that. And it's time to go. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Lottie. Thanks, John Fox. Thanks for, you were the first one who had to put up with that filthy email. Thanks for forwarding it on to me. Thanks, Ben Birch. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks for the recipes, Susan. Those are going to be fun. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy, and I hope none of this hurt. I sincerely hope not. Thanks to our cavalcade of crazy columnist, Reverbo. Thanks to Matt Osborne at osborneinc.com. Thanks to my head writer, David in Tennessee. And to my friends and my colleagues, the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, thank you for the continuing support of this program. Do you understand what I mean when I say brave now? I think you do. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.